Well, in case you didn't look at the calendar this morning, today is July 1st. It's hard for me to think that it's already halfway through the year of 2018. But it's even harder for me because today is my youngest daughter's 17th birthday, and it's hard for me to think of her as a 17-year-old senior in high school. It's summertime, though, and I get excited about all the ideas of picnics and swimming in the lake and going camping and bonfires with s'mores. In case you haven't tried a Reese's peanut butter cup instead of a chocolate on a s'more, I give you that suggestion today. It's the days we have to look forward to where it seems like they go on forever and it's dark not until late into the night. I'm also excited about the fact that it's Independence Day on Wednesday. In case you didn't know it, the 4th of July is also called Independence Day. I know that sometimes we get confused. But it's the day that we have off from work for a lot of good reasons. We watch fireworks, we get together with families, maybe have a cookout. It's a day to celebrate the freedom that our country and the blessings that our country has because of that freedom. But I often wonder when I use the word freedom if everybody's on the same page. I bet you that if I asked 10 different people what the word freedom meant, each one of you would come up with a different answer. So I went to the source for all things, the internet, and I looked up what it meant to be free. Here's a few of them that I came up with. Freedom is the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. I would agree with that one. Freedom is the absence of subjection to a foreign domination. Again, I would agree with that one. Here's the one that gives me a little question, though. Freedom is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. That one, I think, can get us a little into trouble. Webster's dictionary says freedom is a political right, and that's what our country was founded on, rights that we have to worship as we please and to have freedom. I think it's different, very interesting that we have all these different interpretations of freedom. But the one thing that I want you to keep in mind was one of the presidents that I really idolized, President Abraham Lincoln, always used the word freedom in conjunction with responsibility. Freedom isn't just being able to do whatever we want. There's a responsibility behind being free. Maybe a better way to think about it is freedom is the power to do the right thing, what we ought to do. Our scripture today takes us to the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, the second letter. And if you remember, in the Corinthian church, they were under a lot of pressure from outside to conform to the society around them. The society around them was kind of a free-flowing society where anything goes. There was no holds bar. All rules were put out the window. And Paul was trying to teach the Corinthians that they needed to act in a way that reflected God's glory. The second letter that Paul writes to the Corinthians actually shows that they were doing exactly what he had asked them to do. They were reflecting God's glory through their lives and not acting like the society around them. I'm going to read for you now what 2 Corinthians 3 says about just what I talked about. Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring your letter of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you, yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good works among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ, showing the results of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. If the old ways, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared to what the overwhelming glory of the new way. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had their veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And this is the word of the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for all the blessings you give us. Today we are mindful to be thankful of the blessings of freedom. Not only freedom to live in this great country where we have so many blessings, but the freedom that comes through knowing Christ. We no longer have to succumb to sin, but we can succumb to you, Lord, letting you overpower us with your glory and your wisdom. Help us to be people that reflect your glory into this world, and help us to be people that reflect true freedom through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ask this all in your name. Amen. One of the fondest memories from my childhood is Saturday morning television. I know we try to limit our children's television watching, but back when I was young, we had three stations, ABC, NBC, and CBS, and if you were lucky, you got PBS too. We didn't have dish networks or satellites or cable TV, and the youngest child in the family, at least that's how it was in my house, had to get up and actually turn the channel of the television. I was the youngest. You can tell I'm still holding a grudge. Anyway, I love to watch my favorite cartoons because unlike today where you can have anything you want at your fingertips and you can even watch TV in the middle of the night that was first run TV, we didn't have that option. We only had cartoons on Saturday mornings. And my two favorite were the Flintstones. Yes. I even named my dog Dino, so just so you know. And Scooby-Doo. All right. But really, the fun part for me on Saturday mornings was in between the cartoons. There was this thing called Schoolhouse Rock. I don't know if any of you remember it or not. It was animated. I'm so glad you're here today, Jolie. Animated musical education. And they were short films that went in between the different regular TV programming. It was all about science and history and economics and mathematics and civics. And they would sing little ditties, little songs that really kind of caught your attention. So between 1973 and 1985 were the first time that they were out. And children watched them on Saturday mornings. I had a couple of favorite ones, and let's see if we can go back in time and remember these things. How about Conjunction Junction? Conjunction Junction, what show? All right, we got some people. All right, here's another test. Ready? I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm... All right, I love this. This is great. Interactive, all right. But my most favorite one was the preamble to the Constitution of the United States that I learned by watching television on Saturday morning. Let's see if we can remember that one. Hold on. Hopefully we're going to have some help.
In order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility.
Anybody? Nope.
Blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, thank you for bearing with me through that. I think it was better to hear it than have me sing the whole thing. But imagine what it was like when I went to the dinner that table that night and I sang the preamble to the Constitution with both my parents kind of scratching their head thinking, I don't know if I know the words to the preamble of the Constitution. I was fortunate to be adopted to a family of people who were a little bit older when they adopted me. So my father was a World War II veteran, and he loved this country like you couldn't believe. So he loved it when I sang the preamble at least the first time when I was there at the table. By the 100th time, I think he probably got a little upset. But I was excited because even later on in life, when I was a little bit older in elementary school, I still remembered that song. I still remember it to this day. And I passed my civics test with flying colors when we had to talk about it. My parents were children of immigrants who came from different parts of Europe to settle in this country. And my father was a patriot through and through. He even told stories about remembering the radio broadcast that came across when Pearl Harbor was bombed and how he and all his friends knew that soon his country would be going to war. My mother, who was a little bit younger, a preteen at that time, talked about civil defense drills at school and recycling aluminum foil because that would go towards the war effort. She even told me about the fact that her father, who had worked in a machine shop, who was a washing machine mechanic, had the factory that he worked in turned completely over into an ammunition factory that was making ammunition for the war. But her favorite tales are about picking vegetables in her parents' victory garden during the war to try to reduce the pressure on public food supplies. So if you want to say that patriotism is kind of in my blood and has been part of my training, it would be true to say that. I'm proud to stand up here as an American. Americans know how to fight for freedom. When I finished parochial school, or when I was in parochial school a few years after learning the preamble or being involved in that, I was also taught that God himself placed the dream for America in the hearts of our founding fathers, that it wasn't just a haphazard type thing, but that God was in the midst of it. And over the course of my theological education, I've had the opportunity to look at the beginnings of our country, and I truly believe that God was orchestrated most of it, that he was part of the author of this Constitution that gives us inalienable rights endowed to us by our Creator. In fact, our Constitution and this country was built out of revival. Our founders knew that government doesn't give us the rights. It's supposed to supply the protection for those rights that were given to us by God and God alone. So government's role is to protect the rights that we have as human beings created in God's image. I believe that our nation is great because we're blessed by God. And I know that there's a lot of things going on in the world that would make that look differently. But if we think about it, we are one of the most blessed nations in the world. We have brave men and women who have gone before us, who have protected this country, and have given us these rights. They've defended it with their lives. So to me, when we talk about freedom, we have to do what Lincoln says and talk about responsibility at the same time. Freedom isn't a license to just do whatever we want whenever we want it, or to say whatever we want whenever we want to say it. Freedom is the ability to do what's right. Freedom is the ability to worship as we choose and to speak our minds for the common good and to be educated so that we can learn more about what it means to be free and to be blessed. And even though we look at the news and we see strife in our government, we see a governmental system that seems to be out of control at some times, we see international relations that sometimes seem like they're teetering on the edge, or we see an economy that might cause us to struggle, we still are truly a blessed nation. And as Christians, as Christ followers, we understand that faith comes in other ways too. Freedom comes in other ways too. Freedom comes in faith, knowing that God has made us free. Like the Corinthian church that we read about a little while ago, we are pressured by society to conform, to try to be more like society, to do things that are for ourselves, to be selfish, and to win at all costs, to be in competition and in strife with one another. But that's not what Scripture teaches us. Scripture teaches us from the beginning to the end that we have freedom in God, but with freedom comes responsibility, that we're supposed to align ourselves with God and his ways and not just go off on our own and do our own thing. In fact, when Jesus walked this earth, he set people free from illness and from spiritual distress and from incorrect thinking and tried to realign them with the thoughts of God. So even freedom in Christ is growing closer to God. It's not just going about doing what we think is right. Today, as we face these issues that the Corinthian church faced, the social pressures, and to win at all costs, it's even more important for us to find freedom in the right source. And that's freedom in our faith, in doing the right thing. If we think we can do anything we want because we're free, then that's a very shallow view of what freedom is. And it doesn't take God into consideration at all. Paul continually preached in his sermons throughout the New World, throughout the new territory that he settled in Corinth and other places, that the Holy Spirit is what brings freedom. And that when we have the Spirit living in with us, within us, we exemplify that to the people around us. Without words, without having to write it down, we show that our lives begin and end in Christ. We no longer live in guilt or shame or fear or anxiety or not knowing what the future holds, but we live our lives in Christ, which give us prosperity and peace and health. And so God gave us freedom to be free by sending his Son who paid the ultimate price. It was God who purchased our freedom ultimately through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we can strive all we want, but we'll never be truly free until we let go and let God. When we hear the word surrender, I think of a white flag being lifted up and we say, come it all, come take over, like in battle. But that's a wrong idea of surrender or of freedom. In that, we're oppressed by whoever's taking over us or we're put under slavery. But when we have freedom in Christ, when we surrender to him, we completely take him and his power into ourselves. We completely allow God to rule our lives. We completely allow ourselves to be aligned with him. And that's what true freedom is. That was the original intent all along, that we would be like God, that we would be little Christ, that we would reflect God's image to the world. That was the original intent for humanity. So the question then becomes, are we living freely, truly freely? Sure, we live in a country that offers us much freedom, but what about freedom in Christ? Are we living lives that truly reflect God's glory, free of anxiety, free of fear, free of guilt? Or are we living like the Corinthian church where we succumb to the pressure of the world, kind of going from here to there in the winds of tides as things go wrong? If we live that way, then we are not being dependent upon God and we're not living healthy and prosperous lives. My prayer is that we reflect God's glory. Even when there can be fear and anxiety because the world seems to be spinning out of control, if we rely on God, we don't see the anxiety that others have. As both Americans and as Christ followers, we need to put our faith not in political systems, not in the tide of the way that the world is going, but solely and completely in God, allowing him to have complete and absolute control. We must remember that the blessings of freedom come with responsibility, that we often have to act for the greater good than our own wants and needs. And therefore, we must continually fix our eyes on Christ, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For in Christ alone are we set free, for he endured the cross for us. And we are to be thankful people, knowing not only that people before us have gone and sacrificed that this country can be free, but that we have a Christ, a Lord, that put down his life for each of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we come before you humbled that you would give of yourself completely for us. We come before you thankful that you would bless us with so many blessings, living in a country where we can choose who we want to be, choose where we want to worship, choose how we want to lead our lives. But with all that freedom, Lord, also comes responsibility. So we ask you today to make us good stewards of all the things you've blessed us with. With our freedom here in this country, help us to speak words that build up rather than tear down. Help us to be influencers in our circles of influence. Help us to be people that reflect your glory to the world. And never let us forget that the greatest price of all, the price for our souls, was paid by your Son, Jesus Christ, willingly going to a cross and sacrificing his own life for our lives so that he could open up a way to you. Help us to be mindful of all this freedom and these many blessings today and always. And help us to be beacons of light into the dark places in this world. We pray all this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.